20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 25th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. The ZANU-PF Political Bureau has deferred discussions on First Lady Grace Mugabe's elevation to the post of Secretary of the powerful Women's League.
The Secretary for Women Affairs, Comrade Opam Chinguri, had not prepared her report. She claims she was not advised.
The MTCT formation led by former Prime Minister Moken Tsvangirai says it is ready to hold its elective congress next week.
The MDC is a sunrise party. It's a party that is going to be rejuvenated, definitely. In fact, the rejuvenation has already begun. Most of the cadres and leaders in the provinces are leaders of rhetoric.
More than 100,000 Zimbabweans living in South Africa are believed to have so far applied for permits under the Zimbabwe Permits Program.
By the 19th of October, it was over 100,000, but with the latest, we believe maybe it could have reached almost 150.
And some farmers say they are boosting the national cattle herd through buying breeding stock from various countries. Stay tuned. The ZANU-PF Political Bureau has deferred discussions on First Lady Grace Mugabe's elevation to the post of Secretary of the powerful Women's League. Party spokesman Rukari Kumbo tells Studio 7 that he don't discuss the matter because Secretary of the Women's League, Opam Chinguri, was not fully prepared to tackle the issue. Mrs. Mugabe, who was on a whirlwind provincial tour recently, called for the resignation of Mrs. Mujuru, alleging that she is corrupt. Kumbo tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mklanganyawuye, the ZANU-PF Congress has also been shifted from December the 9th to December the 2nd this year.
Agreed that preparations are on course. We have the necessary funding, the finance. So we are very happy. We decided to shift the date for the Congress. We move it forward to the 2nd to 7th December. It will be at the Harare Civic Center grounds. We have also come out with a theme for the Congress. It is called Accelerated Implementation of Zim Asset. Those were key areas which we wanted finalized, and we got them finalized.
What was the reason for you to move the date for the Congress?
Essentially, because people felt that around about December 9th to the 14th, which we had suggested, it will probably be the beginning of the rain season. And we felt that perhaps where we are holding a conference may not be that hospitable. And also the schools close on the 4th of December. So we got accommodation from various schools and other places.
There was one issue that was put on hold, especially the issue to do with Dr. Grace Mugabe and her tour in the provinces. Why was this held out?
Because the Secretary for Women Affairs, Comrade Opam Chinguri, had not prepared her report. She claims she was not advised. So people felt that it was not fair to talk about the tour without the report from the person responsible.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rukari Kumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. In a related development, some ZANU-PF supporters are calling for fresh provincial elections, saying the recent polls favor a faction of the party led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru. The dismayed members told the state-controlled Herald newspaper that the current provincial structures are not conducive for free and fair party elections. Mrs. Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa are believed to be leading two bitter factions ahead of the party's elective congress. But ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya says those demanding for fresh provincial elections are bet losers.
Okay, there are two important issues that come up when people complain about elections. Firstly, losers will always cry foul and will always complain. Secondly, there might be genuine concerns about elections. But if you look at what happened, I hope you refer to the election for the chairman of the provinces. Those elections, yes, there was a lot of talk about them. There were a lot of arguments. But at the end of the day, the Politburo resolved that for the sake of progress, let us just accept these results. Therefore, people might still feel bitter, or there might just be opportunists who might feel perhaps they now stand better chances to win in elections.
So you don't see any possibility of that happening, but what will happen if some people push it, at the end of the day?
Well, I don't think anyone is still really pushing.
That was ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya, who is also a political commentator, speaking to Studio 7 from Harare. The MTC formation led by former Prime Minister Moken Tswangirai says it is ready to hold its elective congress next week after completing provincial nominations. Party organizing secretary Nelson Chamisa says over 6,000 delegates are expected to attend the congress to choose a leadership to steer the MTCT to victory in the 2018 national elections. Chamisa tells Studio 7 the stage is set for rebranding the MTCT, which performed dismally in the 2013 general polls won by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party.
We've just completed the phase of our provincial congresses. We are excited that we achieved what we wanted. We have proved that we are an inclusive party, democratic party. Looking at the caliber of leadership of the various provinces, we are so excited that we have believed it true to our claim of being a part of excellence.
So now we have had some controversies here and there, which is maybe part of the democratic process within the MTC. But are you pushing forward, and do you think that the Congress will bring in the desired results?
Controversies from who? You know, there's a difference between complaining about a process because you have not attained the outcome which you want. Genuine Democrats, genuine revolutionaries have to respect the people's will and the people's choice. If you are not happy with the outcome, it doesn't necessarily mean that the process is discredited or the process is perforated in terms of legitimacy.
Are we likely to see a revamped MTC after the Congress?
No doubt. The MTC is a sunrise party, is a resurging party, is a party that is going to be rejuvenated, definitely. In fact, the rejuvenation has already begun. Most of the cadres and leaders in the provinces are leaders of rhetoric, leaders of very credible curriculum details, very strong political foundation.
That was MTCT organizing secretary Nelson Chamisa speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. In Botswana, incumbent president Ian Khama's party, the Botswana Democratic Party, is expected to win the national elections ahead of a strong coalition of opposition parties, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, mainly supported by the young generation. Khama's opponents are unhappy about the current 20% unemployment rate in the diamond-producing nation, among other issues. The country has been ruled by the Khama dynasty for the past 3 decades. Media practitioner Mokaraile Maswabi tells Studio 7's Chris Gande the elections were conducted in a free and fair manner.
The Independent Electoral Commission, the independent governing body regulating elections, has been exemplary in transparency. They've got media briefings on the hour. They have opened up themselves to each and every single candidate, each and every single media representative, the observers who are here, all in the interest of transparency, all in the interest of a fair and free election. The other thing that we've noted that is different from in Zimbabwe is infrastructure for voting. The ratio, the density of polling stations to candidates, not mentioning in terms of the fact that Botswana population is lower, but the mere number of polling stations to a resident is far higher than in most other African countries, including Zimbabwe. So on average, a citizen who goes and votes, even in a congested time, for instance, very early in the morning, would not have to wait for such a long time. Perhaps the average wait would be 2 hours to 3 hours.
So from what you are hearing, especially from political analysts and pundits, who is likely to win this election?
Well, the analysts have said that the current president, Ian Khama, is in all likelihood expected to be returned as the president.
That was media practitioner Morakile Maswabi speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Haberon, Botswana. Direct from Washington, the More than 100,000 Zimbabweans living in South Africa are believed to have so far applied for permits under the Zimbabwe Permits Program, which started on the 1st of October and ends December 31st. Mthokozi Sindiweni of the Zimbabwe Permits Forum tells 2-7 more still needs to be done for the majority of people to book for appointments at designated centers.
We have answered mainly phone inquiries and assisted people with the problems that they are going through as they try to submit their own applications and the emails that they have sent to us.
So what are the challenges right now that these people are facing?
Downtimes when applying for these ZSP permits, which is through the website, VFS Global website. The other ones related to people that forget maybe to record their ZSP numbers, because after the process now is like to access your own information, you need a ZSP reference number and your passport. Otherwise, the system will say that you have already submitted your details, even though you had encountered certain technical errors and your information was not properly recorded.
And since this program started, what is the information that you are getting in terms of people that have actually submitted their applications online? How many are they?
By the 19th of October, it was over 100,000. But with the latest, we believe maybe it could have reached almost 150, maybe by today.
That was Mthokozi Sindiweni of the Zimbabwe Permits Forum speaking on the Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. Over 245,000 Zimbabweans are expected to regularize their status in South Africa by the end of April next year.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
Some farmers say they are boosting the national cattle herd through buying breeding stock from various countries. Cattle breeder Temba Dlodlo tells 2-7, they are buying cows and bulls from Namibia and South Africa at reasonable prices.
We import from our neighbors, Namibia and South Africa. I think the prices are good and the quality of cattle are good. And we think that we can increase our herd using these new cattle that are coming in. Because some cows, pregnant or not pregnant, breeding cows, were slaughtered by farmers who are leaving their farms. So we are now allowed to import breeding stock from countries nearby, our neighbors, particularly South Africa and Namibia. And we think that our herd, our national herd, is going to increase within the next 3, 4, 5 years, I think.
Now, what type of cattle are you importing?
All breeds of beef and all breeds of dairy.
That was cattle breeder Temba Dlodlo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. It's now time for the Women's Forum with Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to the interim leader of the African Democratic Party, Mrs. Marcelina Chikasha, on what led her to form this female-led party. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Marcelina Chikasha.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about your party. What made you decide to form the African Democratic Party?
The African Democratic Party was formed in April of this year, and it came about as a result of grievances from various sectors of the Zimbabwean society concerning the social and economic situation that we found ourselves in. We decided to come together as God-fearing individuals and turn our despair into action.
How big is your membership base?
Our national executive comprises of 11 individuals. Of those 11, there's only one vacancy, which is the vice president's post. And then as far as our national membership is concerned, we have a membership currently sitting on 20,000 people nationwide, and these include members as well in China, in Russia, in South Africa, in Australia, and in the UK, being Zimbabweans in the diaspora, and we're still growing.
How have you been received, especially by the males in the country?
I think when we came on board in April, I was really basically the only woman to form a political party, and it caused a lot of excitement in the country. And after that, we saw the rise of Dr. Mugabe and Sekai Holland in the MDC renewal. So I think it's something that excited a lot of people. And when they saw the response to that, they also pushed women to the front and they put them in. Zimbabwe is basically ready for a woman leader. That is, you know, the feeling that I'm getting from rallies and things like that. So we're a nation that's not sexist. We traditionally are very patriarchal. But at the moment, I don't feel like a woman in politics. I just feel like a politician. That's how I've been received.
For some of those people that are listening out there who'd like to emulate what you have done as a woman, what word of advice would you give them?
I'm very big on purpose in life. I believe that every human being was created with a purpose. And if your purpose is in politics, you need to follow your heart because you are needed in the world. You know, whether you're Zimbabwean or whoever else is going to be listening to this interview, everyone needs to step up and everyone needs to do their bit to make the world a better place. And I think that sometimes it's not really about your ability or your connections or whatever, but it's also just about having that heart condition and that courage and that boldness to pursue aggressively that thing which is in your heart, whether you're called into business or into politics or whatever it is, just pursue it because you will definitely leave the world a better place.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What made you decide to enter the world of politics?
I believe it's never really a decision because I would say that I was born this way. And from a very young age, I've always taken an interest in politics, in current affairs, in world events. Even when South Africa gained independence and Barack Obama came into power, I would always follow keenly because I'd want to know, you know, how people have such high expectations for one person to deliver a better life for them. So it's something that has always been inside of me. You know, I just feel that right now I'm living the life that I'm supposed to be living, a life of serving, a life of planning, a life of interacting with people, a life of just engaging with the common man, with people on the streets, just trying to have a vision for the nation and trying to make that come to pass.
Are you a full-time politician or do you work and then do politics on the side? And also, how are you balancing family life and politics?
It's also come at a time in my life, I would not like to call it the sunset because I'm nowhere near there yet. I'm only 41. So my kids are teenagers. You know, one is 18, one is 16. So I really, the intense family pressure is no longer there. They're basically adults and they manage their own affairs. I'm virtually unemployable now because, you know, the situation in Zimbabwe is, you know, there's a lot of fear. I have to run a business to sustain myself, but I would say that I'm full-time in politics, yes.
What's your educational background?
I'm an accountant. And I trained with one of the very big firms in Zimbabwe at that time, which was Ernst & Young. And I worked as financial manager for some public companies before I left in 2003 to pursue philanthropic work, which I did by setting up a foundation called Kuyamura Foundation. And it's just been a natural progression to the position that I am in today.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Marcelina Chikasha, interim leader of the African Democratic Party, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
Thank you very much, my dear. It's been a pleasure.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Washington.
Thanks, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Now to recap today's top stories. The ZANU-PF Politburo has deferred discussions of the First Lady Grace Mugabe's whirlwind national tour and elevation to the post of Secretary of the powerful Women's League. And the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Moken Tsvangirai says it is ready to hold its elective congress. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Kip Stewart in Washington. Good night.